Truth Seekers! Merry Christmas! Happy Hanukkah! Happy Kwanzaa! Happy Winter Solstice! Whatever it is! We're just glad you could join us here tonight on Christmas Eve Eve. Yes, you heard me right. We are... What? Stop me! Already he's making faces. I'm here 30 seconds. Tony's already making faces at me. Hey, welcome. Good evening, Truth Seekers. It is I, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow occupying your Christmas Eve Eve airwaves here tonight, your public Christmas Eve Eve airwaves tonight from beautiful K-Talk AM 1150 out in Los Angeles, where we have, we got unseasonably warm weather just to rub it into you and the rest of the country. No, you actually want, what's that?
Wait till Christmas Day.
Oh, it's going to be like 80 degrees tomorrow. Yeah, it's going to be 80 degrees tomorrow, but the rest of the country, hopefully you're snuggling up tonight. Preparing for the big Christmas weekend. And listen, it is a Christmas miracle. Here's the miracle. I've got nothing but good news for you tonight. I know it's weird. It's strange. Turn on the Mike Malloy Show. Some guy's got good news for you. I got good news for you. One breaking story after another. I thought it was going to be a slow night. Christmas Eve. Well, no. Christmas Eve Eve. I got to remember. Okay. I thought it was going to be a slow night. We've got all kinds of breaking news that have been breaking all day. Got a lot of it covered at bradblog.com. Even more as I was coming over to the studio tonight. So, as I say, snuggle up. Make yourself a nice cup of hot cocoa. Christmas cheer, if you prefer. Pop some popcorn. Some amazing stories to tell you tonight. Lots of Republicans imploding for some odd reason across the country. Really, some amazing stories. You also, by the way, stop by our chat room. We will be open for business all night long at bradblog.com. If you sneak over there, you can get some preview about what we're going to talk about tonight as well. But otherwise, go over to bradblog.com to the chat room. Say hello to the lovely Dez, who is moderating tonight. I think Emo Probs, Lava Q, Tim, they're already, Tim from LA, they're already in line, so stop on by there. I will try to get to your phone calls as well tonight. That phone number, when you need it, will be, you ready? Get a pen, go ahead, I can wait. Okay, got it? Good. That's our phone number tonight, 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Use that number. Don't use the regular Malloy number. Leave them alone. They're on holiday. They will be back next Monday, though. You needn't fear. So you just got me tonight to warm you up on a chilly Christmas Eve Eve night. And the great Tony Sorrentino, who is our engineer tonight, as ever, he's even got some lovely Christmas music for you. So see, it couldn't be better. All right, what do we got tonight? Man alive. All right, well, so as I was saying, I was a little bit worried earlier in the week. I was like, you know what, who wants to, Friday night before Christmas, you know, I could come in with my usual, angry rants about these crazy people in this crazy world, but nobody wants to hear that on Christmas. I mean, but, so what am I going to talk about that's not going to just make me people crazy? And, well, it got suddenly easier. Within the last 24, even the last 12 hours, it became so much easier. And even coming into the studio, I'll give you just one piece here on the way over to the studio. Breaking news from CNN. Rick Perry, governor of Texas, will not be on the ballot in Virginia in the primary election. Why? Because he couldn't get enough signatures on his petitions that he turned in. His signatures, he fell short of the required number of signatures to get on the petition for the Republican primary in the great state of Virginia. great job, Rick. Terrific work. And if you can't get on the primary ballot with all the money that you have, Rick Perry, if you can't get on the primary ballot in Virginia, we're supposed to think that you can organize your administration to get this country back on track? Are you crazy? Meanwhile, up in Wisconsin, they're having no problems getting signatures on their petitions to recall Scott Walker, the governor up there, to recall Rebecca Clefish, the lieutenant governor up there, and, oh, I think, I don't know, three or four Republican state senators who they're also trying to get on the ballot for recall in 2012. And we're going to actually be talking to a guest about that in the next hour. Lori Compass, the woman who this was awesome. The woman who took on Scott Fitzgerald, the speaker. What is he? The Senate Majority Leader, who's been running around along with all the other wing nuts, telling people that Democrats are committing voter fraud. They're fraudulently Mickey Mouse and Hitler are signing the petitions to get Scott Walker on the recall ballot. Of course, they are not. There is no evidence of it. It's complete and utter hooey, as usual. And this woman, Lori Compass, actually took on Scott Fitzgerald, the head of the Senate out there. His brother, by the way, I think his name is John, is the head of the House, the Assembly out there. So these two brothers are running the entire Wisconsin state legislature. Anyway, she took him on and demanded an apology for his claims of voter fraud. And she's going to be joining us tonight to tell us how that's going. Did she get her apology yet? And, oh, how many hundreds of thousands of signatures, more than they need, will they end up getting in the active exercise in democracy out there called Recall Scott Walker up in Wisconsin? So that's just some of the good news. Believe me, buckle up, because we got a lot of it tonight. It started to look, the week started to turn. It looked like it was going to be a dark week. Looked like, I don't know, I'm going to have to come in and, you know, play choral arrangements or something all night Friday night because I got nothing good news to talk about. And then things started to fall apart. At least for the Republicans, at least for John Boehner, who, this is remarkable. Talk about overplaying your hand. And this may be the only piece of non-breaking news. So you probably know about this. I've got breaking news ahead. Don't you worry. And big, important breaking news. But I wanted to get this one in because this seems to be, as the week was going on, what is John Boehner doing to himself? Who is running that Republican caucus in the House? Even Wall Street Journal, Karl Rove, Senator McConnell, excuse me, Senator McConnell was coming out against the House Republicans for stalling this. Well, they called it a payroll tax cut. But Democrats, can I talk to you for a minute about framing? Yes, you can talk about the fact that, the Republicans are against this payroll tax cut, this tax cut for millions of Americans. Why don't you think like Republicans? Because I'll tell you how the Republicans would have handled this. I'll tell you how Karl Rove would have advised you if he was working for the Democrats. If Frank Luntz was working for you, you Democrats would have been out there yelling and screaming about how the Republicans are trying to hike taxes on the American people, how the Republicans want to raise your taxes, how they're fighting for a across-the-board, call it the Republican tax hike. Don't say, oh, they're trying to stop a tax cut. Do what they do. The Republicans want to raise your taxes, because that's exactly what would have happened had not John Boehner folded in a pile of a pile of Boehner. We'll just call it that for now. Had he not folded this, and I don't know if you saw this press conference, but this poor John Boehner was the only one there. Did you see this press conference? He was the only one there. Usually, you know, he's got Eric Cantor, he's got all these other Republicans behind him, you know, showing their support, showing how they're all together on one team. They left poor John Boehner flapping in the wind. Everyone went home for Christmas, and they're like, this is on you, John. Go for it. Good luck to you. And he had to go out there by himself and say, well, you know, we fought a good fight. We did the best we could, but, Well, actually, what he actually said was remarkable. You got that queued up, Tone? I don't know if you heard this speech. I don't know if you heard Boehner. Well, first he said, you know, sometimes it's hard to do the right thing, and sometimes it's politically difficult to do the right thing. But, you know, when everybody called for a one-year extension of the payroll tax deduction, when everybody wanted a full year of extended unemployment benefits, we were here fighting for the right things. May not have been the politically the smartest thing in the world, but let me tell you what, I think our members waged a good fight. So I saw that news breaking yesterday. I saw what he was saying. And then I saw how the way he concluded this statement. And this is pretty much the Republican Party in a nutshell. John Boehner said this.
Why not do the right thing for the American people, even though it's not exactly what we want?
You got that? Why not do the right thing for the American people, even though it's not exactly what we want? In other words, they don't want to do the right thing of the American for the American people, but hey, why not? It's Christmas, and we're out of ideas. We've got no other plans. I'm looking like a jackass, and so why not fold? Why not, he said. There you go.
Why not do the right thing for the American people, even though it's not exactly what we want?
Of course. God forbid you should do the right thing for the American people, John Boehner. Well, thank you for doing it, no matter what it took. We won't be a Scrooge. We won't be a Grinch round here. We'll just say, Merry Christmas, John Boehner. Way to go, brother. But it gets worse from here, or better, depending on how you may look at it. Some breaking news from the Department of Justice tonight concerning photo ID restrictions in South Carolina. Stay tuned for much more. You're listening to Brad on The Molloy Show. Yes, it is your Christmas Eve edition of the Mike Molloy Show with Brad Friedman, me, of bradblog.com, in for you all night with nothing but Christmas miracles. And I didn't have to make these things up, man. These things were delivered. Most of them came in on my iPhone on the way over here. I mean, it's just that good tonight. I'll give you a little preview. A judge in Indiana has ordered that the Republican Secretary of State of Indiana be removed from his job immediately, decertified, and replaced by a Democrat. Yeah, no kidding. I wouldn't call this good news, but out in Ohio, the federal government, the EAC, the United States EAC, has found that the ES&S paper ballot op scanners, you know, the ones that I've been talking about for years and years and years, turns out they have now concurred with people like me that, yes, the paper ballot systems used in Ohio, Florida, New York, Wisconsin, they lose votes. They just drop votes, just lose votes, just don't count votes. Huh. Who would have known? Who could have guessed it? Who could have predicted it? Oh, yeah, I did. All right, so we're going to talk about that ahead. What other kind of good news do we have here to get out of the way in our short segment here? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, actually, one point. When we went to break, I was talking to Tony, our engineer here, and he was not completely clear on the math of what actually happened this week and who was in favor, you know, because the media reports it, Fox News reports it, Boehner, he folded to the Democrats in this payroll tax cut deal. No, it was in this tax hike deal that the House Republicans were trying to do. And he didn't fold to Democrats. He folded to Democrats and Republicans because it was an overwhelming majority over in the Senate to do this 2-month extension to avoid the tax hike that the Republicans in the House were working to bring to middle-class Americans, 160 middle-class Americans. and to end their attempt to end unemployment benefits to 160 middle-class Americans. So it wasn't Republicans versus Democrats. It was House Republicans versus Senate Democrats and Senate Republicans. So let's just get the math there right, okay? Okay, it's not always right and left. Sometimes it's right and wrong. And, oh, by the way, the fact that all they could do was a two-month extension, the Republicans had already won on this thing. They had already won over in the Senate by saying, okay, it's only going to be 2 months. Oh, and we're going to force the president to decide on the Keystone XL pipeline, the dirty, filthy pipeline that'll go all the way from the tar sands of Alberta, Canada, down to the Gulf of Mexico and bring us a total of about 50 permanent jobs. Oh, and also we ended the light bulb ban. There is no light bulb ban, but we ended it. These are some of the things the Republicans got out of this deal already. And yes, 2 months from now, we'll have another hostage crisis, courtesy of the Republicans, as they have to renegotiate the deal for the next year. So, anyway, I just wanted to get you straight on that math. And thankfully, the GOP attempt to raise taxes on 160 million middle class and even rich Americans who pay payroll taxes. Democrats have been able to avert their tax hike at Christmas that they had hoped to do. Okay, really, I promised before the break that I would go into the breaking news on the Department of Justice, which has now nixed the photo ID restrictions at the polling place in South Carolina. There's a Christmas gift for you. There's your Christmas miracle. Many more miracles straight ahead. Brad in from Molloy. Stay with us.
I'll be so blue thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't mean a thing if you're not here with me.
You are here with me. You know, some radio shows may just, you know, throw you the wolves on Christmas Eve. Not us here at the Mike Molloy Show. We are live tonight on Christmas Eve. True, it's not Mike, it's Brad. But, you know, that's almost as good. Second best, right? No reruns here. Welcome back to the Mike Molloy Show on our big Christmas Miracle broadcast, or Christmas Miracle broadcast tonight. Glad you could join us. Do stop on by the chat room. It's starting to fill in now. I know it's a quiet night out there, but it's starting to fill in over at bradblog.com. Come on by. Say hello. Join the fun. Meet Dez under the mistletoe, if you know what I'm saying. Okay, we're continuing with our good news. I told you, let's go to this Department of Justice, because this is great news. The Department of Justice, you know what, Tone, you got that LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, you got Lyndon Johnson nearby. This was Lyndon Baines Johnson back in 1965 when he was speaking to the joint session of Congress about the Voting Rights Act, the beloved Voting Rights Act that was finally passed in 1965 and beloved by all, even at least until 2006 when re-upping the Voting Rights Act in 2006 was passed unanimously in the U.S. Senate, signed by George W. Bush. And ever since then, Republicans have been trying to undo it. Well, here was Lyndon Baines Johnson back in 1965 on the moral issues and the constitutional issues about the right to vote.
There is no constitutional issue here. The command of the Constitution is plain. There is no moral issue. It is wrong, deadly wrong, to deny any of your fellow Americans the right to vote in this country.
A rousing round of applause for Lyndon Baines Johnson in 1965, saying it is morally wrong to deprive any of your fellow citizens the right to vote. Oh, that was then. This is now. As Republicans across the nation have been putting into place these photo ID laws, these photo ID restrictions, claiming there is an epidemic of voter fraud going on. There is not. There is nothing like it. There is concerns about election fraud. Oh, and there are Republicans apparently committing voter fraud in the state of Indiana, like the Secretary of State of Indiana. I'll get to that soon. Man, is that a... Talk about a white Christmas. Stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, the Republicans have been trying to institute these voter suppression laws across the country. And since taking control of legislatures in 2010. They've passed these in about 12 different states. It's going to affect about 5 million different people. But we've got some great breaking news tonight. In southern states, and a few non-southern states that are covered by the Voting Rights Act's Section 5, when new laws are passed, new election laws are passed, they have to get pre-clearance from the Department of Justice before they can be enacted. And that's because these are our states or jurisdictions within states that have a history of racial disparity, of racism, of, you know, keeping minorities from being able to cast their legal vote. So in some of the southern states that have passed these reprehensible photo ID laws that are unneeded, uncalled for, and will do nothing, absolutely nothing, but disenfranchise tens, if not hundreds, of thousands of legal voters. In some of these states, the DOJ has been looking to decide if they're going to offer preclearance to these laws. In South Carolina, in Texas, down in Florida. Well, we got the good news today out of South Carolina. The U.S. Department of Justice will block the voter ID provisions of an election law passed in South Carolina earlier this year because the state's own statistics demonstrated that the photo identification requirement would have a much greater impact on non-white residents. The DOJ said in a letter to the state on Friday. Talk about burying the good news. Way to go, Department. You guys finally do something good out there. I didn't even realize we had an attorney general until Eric Holder gave a speech on voting rights last week at the LBJ Library. Who knew? So you finally do something good and you bury it on a Friday night, a holiday weekend? Oh, brother. Anyway, they did something good. The decision places the federal government squarely in opposition to the types of voter ID requirements that have swept through mostly Republican-controlled state legislatures. Officials in DOJ's Civil Rights Division found a significant racial disparity in the data provided by South Carolina, which must have changes to its election laws pre-cleared under Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. Because of a past history of discrimination. The data demonstrated that registered non-white voters were 20% more likely than white voters to lack the specific type of photo ID required to exercise their constitutional rights, according to the DOJ's letter to South Carolina. Quote, put differently, although non-white voters comprised 30.4% of the state's registered voters, they constituted 34.2% of the registered voters who did not have the requisite DMV issued identification to vote. Non-white voters were therefore disproportionately represented to a significant degree in the group of registered voters who, under the proposed law, would be rendered ineligible to go to the polls and participate in this election, according to the letter. So, they have nixed, for now, the photo ID restrictions in the state of Carolina. voters will once again be able to vote legally and freely there, unless, of course, South Carolina decides to challenge the law to go to the Supreme Court, or to make changes to it, perhaps modify it. But for now, very good news tonight from the Department of Justice, and it signals what they are likely as well to do in Texas, where just a few weeks ago, the Department of Justice sent a letter also with questions similar to the ones that they had sent to South Carolina a few weeks ago, saying, it looks kind of to us like this is going to be racially disparate. So I think they're going to block that. So we'll see what happens in Texas. I think this is good. This is why it's good to have a Department of Justice that is not completely and entirely compromised. Yes, they are fairly compromised, but at least they're not completely and entirely compromised as the Bush Department of Justice was when they rolled back all of these things that had once been stopped by the Voting Rights Act. They actually allowed a similar photo ID to go through in Georgia. Another one went through in Indiana. Indiana is not covered, I don't think, by the Voting Rights Act, but it was in Indiana in 2008 where the first photo ID restriction law was approved by the U.S. Supreme Court in Crawford versus Marion County Board of Elections, I think is the name of the case. We'll just call it Crawford. But so in the Crawford case in 2008 in Indiana, they found that, yes, they could institute a photo ID law so long as those citizens who didn't have a photo ID were given one for free at the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles. And so the argument goes, they have plenty of DMVs in Indiana, so there's no problem at all. People, anybody who wants to get a photo ID for free can get one. It's not a poll tax because they can get one for free. Never mind that they may have to arrange a ride to get to the DMV, you see, because they don't have driver's licenses. So they can't just drive to the DMV. They have to arrange to get there, probably during work. They probably have to take off work. They have to find somebody who can drive them, or they're elderly and they're disabled, and it's, you know, very difficult to get there. This was meant to disenfranchise elderly, students, minority voters, make no mistake about it, those voters who tend to vote Democratic. And yet, in 2008, the Supreme Court of these United States allowed this law to go through. And every law that has been passed for these photo ID laws around the country has been modeled on that Indiana law from 2008 that was approved by the Supreme Court in the Crawford case. Now, in that case, in that Crawford case, and we wrote about this last week at bradblog.com, our own Ernest Canning, crack legal analyst at the Brad blog, wrote about this. That case left some doors open, for a plaintiff to come back and bring another case concerning photo ID, because essentially in Indiana, the plaintiffs were not able to show that anybody would be disenfranchised by this law. Well, in fact, they were. And if you go to Brad blog, you'll see articles about nuns, 80, 90-year-old nuns who were kept from voting in 2008. Sisters who had voted at their own convent, the poll workers there were fellow nuns of theirs. They were turned away by their fellow nuns in 2008, not allowed to cast a vote because they didn't have a driver's license, because they're 80, and because they're nuns. And they're living in a cloistered life here, and they don't have to drive around, and they were not allowed to vote. World War II veterans were not allowed to vote back in 2008. So, yes, people were disenfranchised in Indiana. However, when the case was brought to the Supreme Court, it was not that case was not made to the justices. So the door is open for someone to get back to the Supreme Court, and they might get back to the Supreme Court via Wisconsin. But no, I'm not going to go there just yet. Next hour, we'll talk some Wisconsin. Now, I want to talk about Indiana, where this law passed, this voter ID law, this photo ID restriction that allowed all of the other ones that have come after it to follow. State of Indiana. Breaking news out of the state of Indiana yesterday afternoon. The Republican Secretary of State the chief election official in Indiana, in the state that was the first to bring the photo ID restrictions that are sweeping the nation now by Republicans. The Republican Secretary of State has been ordered removed from office and replaced with his Democratic challenger from 2010. Why? Well, because that Republican Secretary of State is facing 7 criminal felony charges right now, including 3 of them for voter fraud. As it turns out, the Indiana Republican Secretary of State is charged with voter fraud, 3 counts, because he was registered to vote in some place in which he did not live. And yet he cast his vote anyway. And oh, it wasn't caught by photo ID restrictions, was it? Somehow he was able to get rid of it. And because he wasn't registered properly, he was not allowed to be on the ballot, the judge has ruled. More on this in a moment. Stay with us.
Out of all the reindeer, you know you're the mastermind. Rockford, Rudolph, Santa coming far behind. I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me.
You know who won't be home for Christmas? Charlie White, the Republican Secretary of State of Indiana. At least he won't be in his old home. His old home where he was registered to vote. The home that he didn't actually live in, where he had moved out, left his wife there, moved out, remarried, bought a condominium elsewhere, but stayed as a registered voter at his old house. Why? Well, among many reasons was Charlie White was still working for the Fishers Town Council, and he wanted to keep collecting the salary for the district that he no longer lived in, even as he ran for Secretary of State of Indiana, which he won last November 2010. Or at least he thought he won. He received more votes than the second place contender, a man by the name of Vop Osili. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. That was the Democrat in Indiana. But Charlie White won. Problem is, Charlie White had committed voter fraud. Republican Secretary of State of Indiana, Charlie White, committed voter fraud. He didn't live where he said he lived. He didn't vote in the right precinct, and he didn't care. And oh, Indiana's photo ID law did not catch Charlie White, did not keep Charlie White from committing voter fraud. So Charlie White is now facing 3 counts of voter fraud, 7 criminal felony counts overall for his misbehavior in a criminal suit. But meanwhile, yesterday, in a civil suit where the Democratic State Party has long been challenging Charlie White's right to serve as the Secretary of State, you see, because he was not a legally registered voter when he was on the ballot, which made him, therefore, ineligible to be on that ballot. They've been challenging this now for months. They were challenging it before the election. And the State Recount Commission, who looked at this originally, which, by the way, it's a 3-person commission. One of those commissioners, Secretary of State Charlie White. Anyway, he recused himself in this case. And the State Commission, originally, they wouldn't even look at the case. They threw it out. They threw it out entirely. I believe it's 2 Republicans and 1 Democrat. They threw it out entirely. It was a split decision, that one. The Democrat wanted to look at the case. 2 Democrats didn't. They threw it out. And so the Democratic Party went to a court of law, and the judge made them reconsider the decision back at the commission, back at the recount commission. The recount commission looked at it, and by a 3-0 vote, they said, no, it was fine. Charlie White was perfectly eligible to be on the ballot. The Democrats then appealed that back to the court, and as of yesterday, Marion County Circuit Court Judge Lewis Rosenberg has ruled that he was the Charlie White, the Republican Secretary of State, was inappropriately on the ballot in the first place. Therefore, he has ordered the recount commission to decertify Charlie White. He cannot be the Republican Secretary of State because he was not a properly registered voter when he committed voter fraud in the first place. He will be he was illegally on the ballot. Therefore, the next highest vote getter in that 2010 election, Democrat Vop Isili, has been ordered to be certified as the Indiana Secretary of State. Just in time for 2012. Now, the Recount Commission has said they're going to challenge this law, or challenge this ruling by the federal judge in the civil case. But in the meantime, the felony criminal charges go ahead. And if, in fact, he is found guilty of any of those felony charges, I believe that case will come to trial in January. Charlie White will face those seven felony charges, three of them for voter fraud. If he's found guilty of any of those felonies, he cannot serve as the Secretary of State. Of course, in that case, he'll be thrown out of office if he's not out of office already. And the Republican governor out there, Mitch Daniels, will get to appoint his replacement, which means it'll likely be a Republican. But for now, if the civil case court ruling holds up, there'll be a Democratic Secretary of State there. Thanks, in any case, to Charlie White's voter fraud in the state of Indiana. The Republican Secretary of State, the chief election official who committed voter fraud in the state that was the model for the voter suppressing photo ID laws now sweeping the nation, and tonight at least being swept back by the Department of Justice, who has said, no, South Carolina, you can't disenfranchise minority voters that way. We ain't going to let you. It's a good news Christmas miracle, Christmas Eve show right here on The Malloy Show. Much more straight ahead. Brad, in for Malloy. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, broadcasting live tonight from the Left Coast, beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150. Your friendly Christmas Eve friend, Brad Blog from bradblog.com, here with you tonight in the Christmas Miracle Edition of the Mike Malloy Show. Why is it a Christmas miracle edition? Well, because we've just got so damn much good news, we don't even know where to begin. We're just giddy with ourselves. We're not angry. We're not infuriated. We're just giddy. And that is a Christmas miracle. Please join the chat room. I forgot to say earlier, you can tweet me anytime, all night long, all weekend long, all year long, at the Brad Blog. That's where you can find me on the Twitters. Let's see, and you can also stop by the chat room at bradblog.com, where Dez and Dale are holding down the fort tonight. We'd love to see you and hear from you over there. They're friendly. Come on by. Whip up a nice cup of hot chocolate. Bowl of popcorn. There is plenty to enjoy tonight, that's for sure. We're going to be joined in just a few minutes here by Lori Compass, who is demanding an apology from the Senate Majority Leader in Wisconsin, Scott Fitzgerald, who has been claiming that Democrats are committing voter fraud in the recall Walker effort. Of course, they are not. So she's demanding, she's not taking it. She is not taking it. She's standing up and she's saying, you know what? You owe me an apology because you're out there lying about me. You're out there saying that Democrats are committing fraud and they're not. You, sir, are the fraud. We're going to talk to Lori, see if she's gotten that apology yet in just a few moments. Okay, so just to review, though, very quickly, the very good news that we have. One, Boehner folded like a cheap suit, claiming, as he told the American people, that why not do the right thing for the American people, even though it's not exactly what we want. course, doing the right thing would never be what they want, apparently. Okay, so we had that tonight. We have Rick Perry, who failed to get on the primary ballot in the state of Virginia because he turned in petitions with not enough signatures to get on the primary ballot. He failed. The Department of Justice has nixed South Carolina's photo ID restrictions at the polling place that would have disenfranchised thousands of legal voters. And a court in the great state of Indiana has ordered that the Republican Secretary of State, Charlie White, be removed from office for his various voter fraud chicanery that he himself carried off, and that he be replaced by a Democrat. Okay, so that's just some of the good news. And we haven't even gotten to the findings by the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission that the paper ballot op scan computers I've been warning you about for years and years and years, that, yes, the ones made by ES&S actually drop ballots. They drop votes. They don't count votes. They freeze up during elections. And they do not print properly their logs, their activity logs. So, you know, if a hacker wants to get in there and do anything they want, it won't be caught by anybody. So that's just some of the stuff that's straight ahead. Oh, there's some new great EPA rules, some new great EPA rules that only took 20 years to come, 22 years to get here, since the Republican George H.W. Bush signed that Clean Air Act into law 22 years ago. Well, we finally got the rules that he asked for. Okay, so we'll get to that and some other stuff. Oh, and the Republicans now, all of a sudden the Republicans are worried that the Iowa caucuses are going to be hacked. Oh, silly Republicans. You know that's just conspiracy theory stuff. Those machines can't be hacked. They're perfectly safe. What are you talking about, tinfoil hat wearers? Okay. Also in Wisconsin, speaking of Wisconsin, because we're going to talk to Lori Compass in a moment, we've got some good news there. There's been about four or five different arrests that I have heard of after assaults, violent assaults, on Wisconsin, on Recall Walker petitioners. Folks who are out there gathering petitions, exercising their right to do so, their right to petition their government for redress, trying to get Scott Walker on a recall ballot, along with his lieutenant governor, along with three or four other state senators. They've been attacked. They've been spit upon. Two men were arrested last week for spitting upon petition gatherers. They've received death threats in the middle of the night from these Walker supporting thugs. They've had petitions snatched out of their hand and defaced. And one man was arrested last week in West Bend. I think it was West Bend. Where is that? Where do I have that paper? Here we go. Do I have the arrest here? His name, where is he from here? Wisconsin. Here we go. Yeah, Jeffrey Karnitz from West Bend. Indeed, a 30-year-old man was charged with two election fraud felonies, supporter of Scott Walker's, for defacing petitions that these gatherers were trying to get signatures on. So, that's what they do. Oh, and we told the story at Brad Blog that we picked up. A fellow by the name of David Hackman, Dave Hackman, wrote about this at Daily Coast over the weekend. His camera was smashed. Let me see if I have this here, because it's, here we go. This camera, and there's a picture of the brand new Canon electronic camera. He writes, "This camera was 3 weeks old. It was stripped off my wrist, thrown full force into the street by a crazy right-wing bastard. The card and battery are missing, which I learned when I tried to retrieve the day's photos and video." He writes, Dave Hackman, he writes under the name, what's the name he uses there? He writes that Noise of Rain over at Daily Coast. He writes that my winter coat was ripped, my camera was destroyed, my hand is badly bruised and hurts like hell. The police left after taking all of our stories, and three of us went back to the intersection to retrieve our signs so as not to leave litter. As we walked back, a wizened old man came up his front walk and let us know how happy he was that we were hurt and how much he hated us. He drooled positively. Oh, shoot. My computer here refreshed right in front of my eyes. Doggone it. Well, we'll have to find out how he drooled in a moment. Let's see. Is it coming back? Because it was a good story. I wanted to finish this story. It was a lovely, it was a warm Christmas story for Christmas Eve. Okay, here we go. He drooled positively fecal invective. There we go. Another car whizzed by and gave us the finger. Earlier, a man in a we should have nice Christmas tunes behind this. Earlier, a man in a passing car slowed down and pantomimed shooting at Angela with an imaginary rifle. This is life in Walkers, Wisconsin. I don't see it getting any better real soon. No, well, here's the good news. It's a holly jolly Christmas because that guy who attacked Dave Hackman, allegedly, and broke his camera, allegedly, has been arrested. We still don't know his name, but he has been arrested. There has been some accountability there. Writes, Noise of Rain is his name, Adelicos, at the end of the piece here. He says, we don't want trouble. We don't want debates. We don't want to convince anyone of anything. We merely want to give people the opportunity to sign a legally prescribed petition derived from constitutionally defined laws whose intention is to allow redress of an aggrieved population if an elected official is off the rails. And that's certainly the case up in Wisconsin, where the elected officials are off the rails. Off the rails and on Fox News, where Scott Fitzgerald was happy to tell people yesterday, that, well, if they flip the Senate, yeah, basically he said that, you got that clip there, Scott Fitzgerald, Fox News with Megyn Kelly, you don't see it there? He basically said, well, if they flip the state Senate, which is obviously their goal with eight recalls going on right now, they can take control of the labor unions. If we win this battle and the money is not there under the auspices of the unions, certainly what you're going to find is President Obama is going to have a much more difficult time getting elected and winning the state of Wisconsin. Yes, indeed, this is about killing the unions in the state of Wisconsin. Make no mistake about it, that's what they're trying to do. And they'll get away with it, too, unless they're stopped. Brad in from Molloy.
Snow is glistening, a beautiful sight. We are happy tonight.
It's the best time of the year.
It is today. Nothing but good news somehow here tonight on the Mike Molloy Show. Broadcasting from the left coast. Your friendly investigative citizen journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker Brad Friedman in for Mike tonight on Christmas Eve with our Christmas Miracle Show. So I was talking a little bit about the recall effort up in Wisconsin before we went to the break, and Lori Compass, who took on the Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald after Fitzgerald had sent out an email claiming that Democrats were trying to get away with fraud, voter fraud on those petitions. Which, of course, they are not. Here was her confrontation, at least a part of it, a few days ago when she was challenging Scott Fitzgerald to apologize for claiming that she and her compatriots were committing fraud.
I have personally reviewed every single one of the 10,000 and counting signatures that we've gathered.
I think, obviously, it's a statewide issue.
Mickey Mouse, Adolf Hitler, stuff like that's not going to get by me. It won't be turned into the GAB. So, you're accused. accusing us. This isn't a statewide thing in your email. You're saying
that's fraud.
That you need help to fight the fraud that's happening right now in the competition in your district.
Yes.
And so you're accusing me of fraud. You're accusing my volunteers of fraud. Yes, you are. You said it. Issue an apology to me and my volunteers. Issue a correction.
Okay, thanks, Lori. Thank you for being here.
Are you going to do either one of those?
No, I'm not
going
to do either one of those.
Are you going to do either one of those things, issue an apology to me or my volunteers? No, I'm not going to do either one of those, says Scott Fitzgerald to Lori Compass, the woman who is the independent grassroots organizer leading the effort to recall Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. Lori Compass joins me right now to find out how that quest for an apology is going. Hey, Lori, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Boy, do I love it when the good guys stand up to... Actually, I love it when any citizens stand up to power the way you did. So tell us, have you gotten your apology for the claims that Republican Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald made about you and your signature gatherers out there?
No. In this case, he was true to his word. He has not come through with an apology.
And so what was it exactly that he said that you took such offense to in that email that he sent out to supporters?
Well, is it okay if I give you a little context?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, it's been reported that I'm working for Governor Walker's recall and some things like that. So I just wanted to clear up. A lot of people outside Wisconsin aren't aware that Scott Fitzgerald is actually facing a recall himself and that I filed the papers against him on the same day as the Governor Walker petition filers filed their papers. So our website is at recallfitz.com. That's recall, F-I-T-Z.com. And this is an independent grassroots effort. The Democrats targeted three senators elsewhere in the state, and you know, three senators they thought would be most vulnerable. And I guess they just thought Scott Fitzgerald, you know, like it couldn't be done or something. But but we are doing it. So. And
I should say, by the way, Lori Compass, I believe I'm guilty of that, that I reported at Bradblog that you were involved in the Recall Walker effort. I will be correcting that later on tonight. So you're directly focusing on Fitzgerald, Scott Fitzgerald, not on behalf of the Republicans, but as an independent effort?
Right, not on behalf of the Democrats. That's right. And so our volunteers certainly do have Walker and Clayfish petitions, but they also have Fitzgerald petitions. And I'm kind of just piggybacking my effort onto the Democrats' effort. So we've got all these people going out from the Democrats' offices carrying the Walker petitions. And basically, I was just making mine available, saying, hey, while you're going out, do you mind taking a Fitzgerald petition? Mm-hmm. And it's worked incredibly well. And so that's why Scott Fitzgerald sent out that fundraising email that, you know, was making these false claims about us. And, you know, I didn't go to that meeting intending a big smackdown or anything. I just confronted him about this because the things he's saying about us, I think, are translating into some increased hostility and aggression that we're seeing out on the streets and on the ground. And I want it to stop. So not only, I asked him for an apology, but, you know, what I really got at later in the video was, you know, will you denounce these actions by your supporters that we're seeing, you know, people yelling obscenities at us? You know, I feel like he's got the power as a Senate Majority Leader to try and calm people down and try and get people to realize that we're good people, we're working hard for a cause that we believe in, and we're exercising our constitutional rights. That's what he could be telling people. And instead of telling his constituents that, he's just fanning the flames, and it's making things worse. And so that was my intention in going in there and talking to him about this, was to make him realize that, no, there's no fraud happening, first of all. And secondly, when he says that it is happening, it's making things worse for us out on the streets.
Lori, can you stick around for just a few more minutes? I want to hold you through the break if I can. I got another question or two for you. Are you available? Can you do that?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, really appreciate that. I'm speaking with Lori Compass of RecallFitz.com, F-I-T-Z.com, working to recall Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald and demanding that he stop claiming the folks trying to recall him are committing fraud. You're listening to Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Lori's going to stay with us. Hope you will, too.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
We send that out tonight to Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. We're speaking with Lori Compass on our Christmas Miracle episode of the Malloy Show. Speaking with Lori Compass of recallfitz.com. That's recall, F-I-T-Z.com. She is working to get Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald on a recall ballot in the Badger State next year. No easy task either. But then again, I thought it was going to be very difficult to get Governor Scott Walker on a recall ballot next year. So, Lori, by the way, is asking for an apology from Scott Fitzgerald because Fitzgerald has been going out and lying about her group and Democrats around the state committing voter fraud by fraudulently putting Mickey Mouse and Hitler on the these petition signatures. And, of course, he's using that to raise money for himself. So, Lori, how many signatures do you have to get to get Scott Fitzgerald on the ballot? And how's the effort going so far?
Well, it's going really well. We need a minimum of 16,742. And at last count, which was on Monday, we had 10,700 valid signatures. So we actually have many more than that, but for various reasons, those signatures won't count. But we have 10,700 valid signatures.
And how many of them are from Mickey Mouse or Hitler?
Not a single one, and I've reviewed them all.
Dick Tracy, Mary Poppins, I know they vote all the time in Wisconsin. I've heard it over and over again on Fox News. So how many times has Dick Tracy signed the petition so far?
Not at all.
None.
I haven't seen any evidence of fraudulent activity.
Really? That's so odd. Oh, that's not what I heard on Fox. Now, you've got 10,000 so far that are you believe are valid. You got to get about 17,000. What is your deadline? You have the same deadline that the Scott Walker recall folks have?
That's right. January 14th is the last day we can collect signatures, and then the signatures are all due on January 17th.
Are you going to make it?
I sure hope so.
Yeah?
I wouldn't be out here if I didn't think so. Yeah, we're just seeing an extraordinary outpouring of support from around the state. People are coming to our district who live maybe on the border. They're coming into the district to help us gather signatures. So we have people who are, you know, out on street corners saying, come and sign here. And then we also, about a week and a half ago, started just really intense canvassing efforts, so going door to door.
And so people who do not live in Scott Fitzgerald's district, they can't sign the petition, at least legally. It won't count. They have to live in his Senate district, correct?
They have to be eligible to vote in his Senate district to sign. But any eligible, you know, anyone who's eligible to vote in Wisconsin can circulate our petitions.
Okay.
So people can come over from Madison or Milwaukee or whatever and carry our petition around.
Now, it's a tall order, not just to get him on the recall ballot, but to win because he's, he's the majority leader. He's going to have a whole bunch of Coke money behind him, I'm guessing. And does he, is he popular? How did he do in the last election? Was it, it's a very Republican area that he presides over?
Yeah, he did very well in the last election, But, you know, we're finding a lot of Republicans are signing this petition. A lot of people feel like he's abused his power, for one thing, and a lot of people feel like he's betrayed their trust. You know, he didn't campaign on doing the stuff that he's ended up doing.
Mm-hmm.
We feel like he's more interested in lining up behind Governor Walker and carrying out Governor Walker's agenda than standing up for us.
Well, listen, I'm going to be back in for Mike Malloy next Thursday and Friday, and I am nothing if not fair and balanced. So if Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald would like to come on this show and defend himself and give us evidence that Mickey Mouse and Hitler and so forth are in fact signing these petitions, that there are Democrats and others committing fraud to put him on the recall ballot while they're exercising their right to do exactly that, I certainly welcome him to do so. I, like you, however, Lori Compass, am aware of no such evidence. And you're right. I think that charging people with fraud, we've already seen what that has led to with Scott Walker. I talked a little bit about it earlier in the hour, the attacks on these recall Walker folks, the death threats they're getting in the middle of the night, the violent assaults. We've, you know, had a lot of arrests now. And this needs to stop, because this is the exercise of democracy. And what you guys are doing is just, you know, good for you. Thank you for what you're doing. As a matter of fact, Jeannie Dean, who's been is a great election integrity advocate out here, she was working closely with the folks up in Wisconsin during the Prosser Kloppenberg debacle of a Supreme Court election up there last April. Jeannie Dean's in our bradblog.com chat room, and she writes, "We are so proud of you, Wisconsin. Thank you, Lori." She speaks for me as well. Thank you, Lori, for the work that you're doing up there, and let me know at Bradblog how I can help.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Stay warm and have a great holiday, Lori.
Okay, you too.
That's Lori Compass at RecallFitz, FITZ.com. Support the exercise of democracy at a at an occupation near you. Okay, let me see here. What do I have? What else do I have time for before we need to get to a break? Oh, we should start taking, I should give the phone numbers out. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Oh, yeah, while we're in Wisconsin, I'll do this before the break. We talked a little bit last week when I was in on Friday, about the Ruth L. Frank, the 80-year-old, 80 or 84? I want to get this right. Here we go. 84-year-old Ruth L. Frank, who may have to pay $200 to vote in Wisconsin under the new voter suppression law that was passed by Republicans up there. She's been voting since 1948 without a problem, but because she was born at home, she never received a birth certificate. And now to get a birth certificate, she'll have to pay $20. There's your poll tax right there. Problem is, the Registry of Deeds has her name misspelled. So even if she gets a birth certificate, she may have to pay $200 to change that birth certificate so that she can use it then to cast her legal vote, which, as I say, she has been doing since 1948 without a problem, until guys like Scott Walker, the governor there, and Scott Fitzgerald, the man we were just talking about there, tried to stop them from voting with these photo ID laws. So, yeah. Earlier in the hour, we talked about the fact that the Department of Justice has said no to South Carolina and their photo ID law, saying that it does not pass muster. DOJ will not give it preclearance, according to the Voting Rights Act in South Carolina. But up in Wisconsin, that state's not covered by the Voting Rights Act in the same way that South Carolina is. So the ACLU has now filed a lawsuit, I'm delighted to see. A 54-page suit in which Ruth L. Frank is the lead plaintiff. There's also 17 other voters, from Ruth L. Frank to a 52-year-old homeless veteran, to a 20-year-old without a Social Security card, to a 19-year-old college student who doesn't want to give up his California driver's license just to vote in Wisconsin. And he doesn't have to, and he shouldn't have to. That's the suit that they filed to demonstrate the effect of the law and charging that it is unconstitutional, that it violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, violates the 24th and 14th Amendments of the Constitution as an unconstitutional poll tax, and violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment in arbitrarily refusing to accept certain identification documents. They're challenging that up in Wisconsin. That's the good news, and that may affect what happens beginning in February of 2012. But as Ernest Canning writes at the Brad blog, that suit is being, let's say, specifically tailored to go all the way up to the Supreme Court. And it may result, if it is successful, in overturning not just the photo ID voter suppression law up in Wisconsin, but also similar laws that have been passed in state after state, now controlled by Republicans, in Kansas, in Arizona, Texas, Florida, South Carolina, Indiana, even Indiana, the original, the home of the photo ID poll tax, Indiana, where the Indiana Secretary of State himself is accused of committing voter fraud and has been ordered removed from office as of last night. So this could be very good news as we move forward with the ACLU suit. And as this is our good news Christmas miracle version of the Mike Malloy Show, wanted to share that with you. And, oh, yeah, that Recall Walker effort, man, is that going well. I thought they were going to have a hard time getting enough signatures. They needed an average of like 9,000 a day to get enough signatures in time to get Scott Walker on the ballot. Well, they claim they've got more than 500,000 now, and they're going to 700,000 just to be safe, just to make sure they have enough. So it's going to be an interesting year next year, isn't it? And, oh, yeah, voting starts in the Iowa caucuses in about 10 days. What could possibly go wrong? Give us a call, 877-520-1150. If you know what could possibly go wrong, or if you'd like to talk about anything else tonight, love to hear from you. Brad Friedman in from Malloy, 877-520-1150.
No crying he makes. I love me, Lord Jesus. Look down from the sky and stay by.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
It certainly is.
Take a look in the 5 and 10.
Uh-huh.
Glistening once again.
Thank you, Bing.
With candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show from the Crystal Ballroom, high atop the Clear Channel building in beautiful downtown Burbank. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Glad you could join us. Our phone numbers are 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. And next hour, and I know that Jeremy from Vermont, Mark from San Francisco, some other folks have been holding on for a long time, so keep holding. I'm going to try to get to you, and nothing but calls in the next hour if I can. So get in line now, 877-520-1150. I had mentioned that the voting begins finally. It feels like it's been going on for years, but the Republican presidential race, the presidential cycle begins in earnest about 10 days from now in the state, the lovely state of Iowa, in the Iowa caucuses. And the Republicans are concerned because Anonymous has put out a video, a purported video from Anonymous calling on disruption of the Iowa caucus. So they're shoring up their security for the caucus sites or something, at least they claim. Here's the only way that you can absolutely guarantee, well, as close as you can ever get to guaranteeing that there'll be a clean, transparent election that everyone can have confidence in Iowa. And that is by voting on a paper ballot, which they do in the Republican caucus in Iowa. Some caucuses actually do a show of hands instead. And the Republicans have asked them to use paper ballots. That's good. But then you need to count the ballots in front of the people, publicly, in front of all the people at the caucus sites, and then report those results at the caucus sites, all 1,800 or so of them, before calling them in to the central Republican headquarters, where anything can happen to them, where either anonymous or Republicans can do anything they want with those results, and you and I will never know it, because there is no transparency. So if Republicans are really concerned about the election and making sure that everyone has confidence in the results, that's what they will do. Count those ballots in front of everyone at the caucus site, post the results before calling them in to the Republican central headquarters, where they go into a database in a dark room in a black box, and they come out with whatever numbers they want. So with that starting, I was going to suggest you give us a call at 877-520-1150 to let me know who you think will win the Iowa caucus. Not who you want to win, and not even necessarily who wins, but I should put it this way. Who will be announced the winner of the Iowa caucus on January 3rd? Love to hear from you. 877-520-1150. Okay, with that in mind, speaking for a second to our friends up in San Francisco in the Bay Area. I'm also speaking to our friends across the country who may be interested in this as well. We've been covering at bradblog.com the saga of Green 960 up there, the great progressive radio station on the AM dial up in the Bay Area, the only progressive radio station on the dial in the Bay Area. We announced a couple of weeks ago at Bradblog that Clear Channel was going to move it off the air, take it off the air, remove the only progressive radio station from one of the nation's most progressive cities on the very first day of the presidential election year. And I'm not going to point to any conspiracies by pointing out that Mitt Romney's Bain Capital owns Clear Channel, and that they're, you know, it's Clear Channel that's taking the progressive station off the air. I'm not going to point to that. I'll just mention it. Oh, wait, I just did. But anyway, my point is they have reversed themselves, sort of, kind of, happily. And they're going to keep progressive radio on the AM dial up there in San Francisco. However, they're doing some very bizarre things. If you're listening to Stephanie Miller in the morning, you might know about it. We're actually broadcasting from her studios here, so we thank her for that. They're actually moving Stephanie Miller to the evening slots and moving Tom Hartman to the evening slots. And they're taking this program, The Mike Malloy Show, and moving it until the early morning hours. Up there in San Francisco, from 1 a.m. till 3 a.m., you'll be able to hear The Mike Malloy Show. Not live anymore, as you're able to hear it tonight. It'll be from 1 to 3 a.m., and I guess you're going to cut off one of our 3 hours, which is very sad. That said, Stephanie has asked listeners up there, and I join her in this effort to ask Mike Malloy listeners to very politely and very respectfully give them a call at Green 960, send them email, ask them to keep Stephanie Miller in her time slot, Tom Hartman in his time slot, Mike Malloy in his time slot, because you know what they're doing? Where Stephanie Miller currently plays at 6 to 9 a.m. live in the morning, they're moving in Glenn Beck. Yes, you heard me correctly. Glenn Beck is replacing Stephanie Miller on the progressive radio station, Green 960, in the progressive city of San Francisco. What could possibly go wrong? Tom Hartman is being displaced by Dave Ramsey, a right-winging financial guy from Texas, I think. And then he's moved to late night. And so if you disagree with that, if you would like the public airwaves to actually serve the public interests, please remind the good folks at Green 960 about it. I spoke with someone there the other day who said we always love hearing from our listeners. So please let them hear from you. At Green, you can stop by green960.com and get the contact information there. Remember, be polite. They are keeping progressive radio on the air. So be polite, be kind, be respectful. But let them know you want your Stephanie Miller, your Tom Hartman, your Mike Malloy live, and all 3 hours of it. I think that would be good. I think there's enough Glenn Beck elsewhere, don't you think? I think there's three or four other right-wing stations where those folks can hear Glenn Beck and his idiocy. So try to let them know. All right. Try to let us know what's on your mind. We're going to go to your calls after this at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. who will be announced the winner of the Iowa caucus? A very carefully worded question. Who will be announced the winner of the Iowa caucus? Would love to hear from you. And on anything else that's on your mind or that we've talked about tonight, these are your public airwaves. You hear me up there, San Francisco? These are your public airwaves. Use them before you lose them more than you already have. 877-520-1150. Your calls are next on Christmas Eve Eve. I'm Brad in for Malloy. To your live Christmas Eve Eve special edition of the Mike Malloy Show. It's special edition, of course, because it is hosted tonight by me, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman, in tonight for Mike as we take you towards the Christmas weekend. So snuggle on up. It's been nothing but Christmas miracles and good news tonight. Really, really good news. Surprisingly good news. So much so you wouldn't even know you're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. The banner folded on the his plans to hike taxes on Americans. Rick Perry won't be on the ballot in Virginia in the primary ballot because he couldn't come up with enough signatures. The Department of Justice has nixed South Carolina's photo ID restrictions, and they are signaling they're probably going to do the same thing in Texas. What else do I have to say? Oh, it's a white Christmas indeed for the folks in Indiana, where a judge has ordered the Republican Secretary of State, Charlie White, out of office for, among other things, the voter fraud that he committed there, ordered that he be replaced by a Democrat. And I haven't even gotten yet, we'll see how much time I have, to the fact that the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission has found that the ES&S optical scan paper ballot systems, you know, the ones I've been warning you about, not just the touchscreens, but the paper ballot systems. When you take a paper ballot and you put it through a computer, it can say whatever it wants to say. Well, one of the things that the ES&S systems are doing, the ones that are used in Ohio and Cuyahoga County, that's Cleveland, the largest county in Ohio, in New York, in Florida, in Wisconsin, it's failing to count votes. What do you know? It's just leaving votes off. And this is now confirmed by the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, which is a crappy agency that never does its job. And for the first time ever, it has actually found a problem with one of the systems that it has previously certified. At the same time, well, hopefully we'll get into this next week. I'll be back in Thursday and Friday of next week. But up in Venango County, Pennsylvania, Republicans have brought have gone to the effort to fight ENS to get an optical a touchscreen system, the ES&S Ivotronic system, independently audited, forensically audited, and they found that it had been remotely accessed time and time again, had all kinds of security flaws, and who knows if that was counted accurately. Who knows if any recent election in Venango County was counted accurately. A judge has since removed the Board of Elections that worked so hard to get that forensic study, even despite the fact that ES&S was threatening to sue them. To sue them for doing so. Following the announcement today about the ES&S paper ballot op scanners in Cuyahoga County, Ohio, and elsewhere, the writer, where is she here? A Plain Dealer reporter, Laura Johnson, said, quote, "If the company can't correct the flaw, the government could decertify the machines, leaving Cuyahoga and jurisdictions throughout the country no way to conduct elections in a presidential year." You see, because those paper ballot op scanners in Cuyahoga County had replaced the touchscreen systems made by Diebold, which the Secretary of State recommended be decertified because they can be hacked, then they fail. And so they were replaced by a paper ballot system. But a paper ballot system, which is counted by computers and not by humans. So Plaindale worries there'll be no way to conduct an election in a presidential election year. Why? Have the people of Cuyahoga County lost their eyeballs? Do they not know how to add 1 + 1 + 1? It ain't that hard. As a matter of fact, they're going to do it in 40% of the towns in New Hampshire in the first in the nation primary in New Hampshire in just a couple of weeks. They're going to count the ballots publicly in front of everyone, the parties, the video cameras. So they'll know the election was accurate. Not so wherever they use these op scanners. Your guess is as good as mine if they're accurate. Speaking of your guess, 877-520-1150. I'd like to know your guess for who is going to win the Iowa caucus in just 10 days from now, January 3. I have to be careful there. Who is going to be announced the winner of the Iowa caucus? And why? Who and why? 877-520-1150. All right, we're finally going to get to some of these phone calls here, and we do have more good news tonight. We may have Desi come in with some more of that Christmas miracle news. But Jeremy in Burlington, Vermont, has been holding forever trying to get through. So let me go to him. Hey, Jeremy, thank you for holding, and welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show, and happy holidays.
Hey, you too, Brad. I'm just calling to refresh you. We talked earlier this summer about Vermont's Hurricane Irene damage.
Yes.
And I'm proud to announce that as of, I think, like yesterday or the day before, we finally finished our last bridge of the 500 bridges and roads that were closed.
Wow.
So we were able to get it all. Yeah, it was either 500 bridges and roads or 500 miles of bridges and roads.
Right.
To be honest, you know, I'm not sure which one it was.
And this was because, you know, once the mainstream corporate media loses, gets distracted by a shiny object, they just move on. So 500. Now, did you do this all alone? Was this the states without the help of the federal government, which, you know, can't do anything? States' rights, free market. It should be all about that. You all did this with no federal money whatsoever, right?
No.
What?
My girlfriend works at a hotel. FEMA was here all summer long helping deal with some of this stuff. They did a lot of the money for us. They got a lot of it done for us.
FEMA? I thought they were useless. I thought we had to get rid of them altogether. I don't understand. You mean when states are actually up against it, when a natural disaster has struck, FEMA actually does the job and helps people out?
Despite what John Boehner and Ron Paul say, yes.
Well, that is actually great news. See, more great news. It's a Christmas miracle night, I'm telling you. So all the roads are finally back open. How many months after the Hurricane Irene?
Less than six, isn't it? I think it was early or late summer. So yeah, we're less than 6 months and it's all banged out.
Wow, nice. I really appreciate that update. And just in the nick of time, I guess, because I'm suspecting it's getting pretty damn cold up there in Burlington right around now, isn't it?
Just got our snow tonight. We've been waiting for it.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't come as frequently as it used to, it seems to me. But as I say, we'll have Des come in and tell us about that. Global warming hates white Christmases. But glad to hear you're going to have a white Christmas out there, Jeremy. I really appreciate you hanging on for a long time. Thanks for that. And happy holidays, my friend, to you and yours.
You too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
Bye.
All right. That's good. So everything's back in place in Vermont. Thanks to the federal government who was there to help. Good. That's what they're there for. Mark in San Francisco on the great Green 960, which will soon become KNEW as of January 3rd, I believe, up there. That's where they're changing the call letters, and they'll be moving this. As a matter of fact, this is a live hour you're listening to in San Francisco, the third hour of the Mike Malloy Show. I don't think you'll be able to hear this one at all anymore after January 3rd. So, hey, Mark, very good to hear from you. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, besides being disappointed about what's happening to our great station here, but we're going to fight to get back Tom Hartman, Mike Malloy, and Stephanie Miller, because there's no way the replacements they got can match up to that crew. They're awesome. We had the best station in the country, I think, until they made these changes.
Well, yeah, I hate to insult any of our other affiliates, but yeah, Green 960, I love. As a matter of fact, if it hadn't been for Green 960, you know, Desi and I do a Green News report that's nationally syndicated around the country, a six-minute radio feature, and that was developed at Green 960 when I was sitting in guest hosting there years ago, and it was sort of an accident, but it wouldn't have been without Green 960. We consider Green 960 our flagship station for the Green News report, which you can find at greennews.bradblog.com. But, so I'm sorry to see what's happening there. So I hope folks in San Francisco will let the powers that be at Clear Channel and Green 960 know they would like to keep their station as it was.
Yeah, well, believe me, they're going to get feedback because we love our station and we have a great lineup. And you don't get rid of those great progressive talkers very easily in this area. We're going to fight for them to get them all back. But I wanted to talk about what's happened. Our friends in Michigan, Brad, need our help because Rick Snyder is basically he's implementing this financial material law on poor cities where he declares a city financial emergency, and then he appoints an emergency manager, and the people that vote for the mayor and all the other politicians, their vote is null and void, and this guy's turning that state into some kind of dictatorship.
Yeah, no, and that's no exaggeration. And here's what's amazing to me is that you don't hear a peep out of this from the right, from the Tea Partiers, who are so worried about big government, who call, you know, Barack Obama, he's a fascist, he's a tyrant. And here you have a governor actually throwing elected officials out of office on a whim and installing, quite literally, a dictator. This is amazing to me. And all the Tea Partiers, and I know you're listening out there, at least on Sirius XM Channel 127. I know you guys are out there. You ought to be joining with the occupiers, with the folks who are pushing back against the big government tyranny, like Mark is talking about here, the big government tyranny that Fox News told you to pretend, that Fox News pretended to be concerned about. It's actually happening up there in Michigan. So thanks for reminding us of that on this Christmas Eve, Mark.
You know what, Brad? It's probably the biggest, I'd say the biggest assault on democracy right now. That we're, it's one of them. I mean, there's the voter suppression.
Yep.
There's also the pledge takers to Grover Norquist, who are you know, basically all taking a pledge to the 1%.
Yeah.
And we have that. We have a lot of problems. But ever since these people voted in these Republicans, take a look at what's happened to our country and what they're doing to us. I don't see any way in the world anybody could justify voting Republican and call themselves an American or believe in democracy. I really don't, Brad. It's got to be called out. You know?
Well, listen, let me say this. I believe they can call themselves an American. I think it's a stretch to say that they believe in democracy, because if you believe in democracy, then you don't restrict legal voters from voting the way they're doing to tens, hundreds of thousands of legal voters around the country. You know,
you
I'm
know
not.
Brad?
Yeah.
I was going to say, well, I wanted to wish you and Des a happy holiday, but I also wanted to say that as long as Fox has been in existence, this country's just been decimated. And if they want to talk about their existence, take a look at what's happened to our country ever since they've been around. There's no coincidence. They've polluted the airwaves on TV, and the result of it is part of the reason why we're dealing with this problem right now.
TV and radio. Well said, Mark. I really appreciate that. Have a happy holiday, my friend, and thanks for hanging on and giving us a call tonight.
Okay, brother. Have a great holiday and a good new year.
Back to you. All right. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. You want to talk about the Iowa caucuses? Anything else? Love to hear from you. 877-520-1150, live radio on Christmas Eve. Brad in for Mike.
Christmas is a-coming, and it's a-jumping. Christmas is a-coming, and it's a-jumping. Christmas is a-coming, and it's a-jumping. Boy, it won't be long. Chicken crows at midnight. on a Christmas day. Rooster crows at midnight on a Christmas day. Children so
welcome back
happy on a Christmas day.
To your live Mike Malloy show tonight. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike on Christmas Eve Eve. Broadcasting from coast to coast and around the globe. By the way, if you missed any of our good news miracle o' Christmas show tonight, where we had pretty much nothing but good news stories, we'll have the archives posted at bradblog.com late night tonight. But I also recommend that you support Progressive Radio by buying a podcast of the Mike Malloy, a podcast subscription at MikeMalloy.com. Give us a call, 877-520-1150. And got a bunch of folks starting to line up here. I'll get to everyone if I can tonight, so hang on. It looks like our friend, Shano from Fort Lauderdale is on. Hey, Shano, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, brother.
How are you doing, my friend? You're doing a great job. So much to talk about tonight, my friend.
You know what? I thought it was going to be a slow night because it's, you know, Christmas Eve, but I got a half a stack I haven't even gotten to that nobody's ever going to hear about. Incredible news you'll never know about unless you come on in and visit me here in Stephanie Miller's studio where we're broadcasting from.
We will be there at some point in the near future. But with Green 960, I want to talk about that. But first, you asked about who's going to win the Iowa caucus.
And who's going to be announced the winner of the Iowa caucus? There's a difference. Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
so
there's a grand difference. But
right.
I think the actual winner will be Ron Paul, whether they announce that or not.
Okay.
But the next question is, does that matter? You know, does it? Because there's been so many straw polls that Ron Paul has won, the CPAC straw polls, and then you listen to Fox News and they just discount it. Oh, who cares? But this person came in second. You know, I don't believe that it's going to matter who wins Iowa caucus, like it hasn't for many years.
I think you make a very good point. And who was it? Huckabee in 2008. He won. Yeah, most of the time. I think you got to go back to George.
Other than Bush.
Yeah, I was going to say George W. Bush. Other than that, whoever wins the Iowa caucus doesn't really matter. But, you know, it's Christmas. So I thought, let's ask a question that doesn't really matter.
But I think Ron Paul will probably win it. And then the right wing will discount it like they discount all the straw polls that Ron Paul wins.
Okay.
And when it comes right down to it, it doesn't matter.
So let's get you on record then. So you're saying Ron Paul is going to win it. Is he going to be announced the winner?
I don't know. That's your wheelhouse, my friend.
I don't make predictions. I leave that to callers. Shano, I got to get to a break here, my friend. Great to hear from you. Thank you again, by the way, last week for the Occuthon.
It was so much fun.
In support of Occupy Wall Street, Shano made me stay up until 2 a.m. to talk to him. Well, actually, 2 to 3 a.m. to talk. So I was pleased to do it. You're great. Check out Shano over at radioornot.com. And, of course, you'll hear Stephanie Miller talking about him on a daily basis in the morning, or at least in the morning in San Francisco now, maybe not after the first of the year. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Have a great holiday.
All right. You as well. Happy
Thank
year.
You, sir. You too. 877-520-1150. More of your calls straight ahead. Oh, Dan in Spokane disagrees with me on photo ID. Can't wait to hear from him. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
The rare old mountain chill. I turn my face away and dreamed about you. Come, they told me, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. A newborn king to see, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum.
You know, we failed tonight, Tony, and not playing any Hanukkah songs. I'm going to have some splainin' to do over the weekend. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. There's just not a lot of good Hanukkah songs out there, is there? There's that Adam Sandler thing. It's, you know, anyway. Coming into our final few minutes here on the Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike live tonight from the West Coast on Christmas Eve Eve. Glad you could join us. 877-520-1150. Got a lot of callers, but I'm going to try to get to as many of them as I can. So stay on the line and try to make your questions or thoughts short and sweet. Oh, here we go. Dan in Spokane. You disagree with me about photo ID restrictions at the polling place. You think we should have them? Dan?
Yes, sir, I do. What? I totally agree with you on the machines.
Yeah.
But I don't see any other way to prevent people who shouldn't vote to vote.
But they don't do that. You understand that, Dan?
What don't?
Well, there is the George Bush's own Department of Justice, who put unprecedented resources into this. From between 2005 and 2009, they were not able to find a single case of voter polling place voter impersonation that would have been stopped by photo ID. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't trust George Bush. He was part of I mean, the same agenda, Clinton, Bush,
Dan,
they've all wanted open borders. So.
Dan, do you know, are you aware of any case ever of someone committing a voter fraud at the polling place by claiming they were someone other than they really were?
Well, I think these just that much.
Oh, Dan, you're breaking up there. Say it again. You're breaking up a little bit. I'll give you another second here because I did want to hear your thoughts. But are you aware that the proponents of these laws around the country, for example, in Indiana, where I believe, where the law was went all the way to the Supreme Court, that the Indiana proponents of that photo ID case put in more than 250 claims of fraud, not one single proven case of a fraudulent vote that law would prevent.
I can't speak to that, but I know just by, you know, California and Arizona with the illegal population.
Yeah, but
I'm sure that there's tons of them.
Well, you would be sure, but you would be wrong. Because if there actually were, don't you think that somebody would have come out and showed it? Because, you know, why would you register to vote if you were an undocumented alien? Why would you give the your name and your address, where you live, to the government?
Well, that's the point, though. If they don't have to show ID, it could be fake. So they just go in and say, I'm this person.
But they do have to show ID. Okay, we may have missed a step, Dan. They do have to show ID. Under the Help America Vote Act, you have to show an ID when you first register. If you don't, like let's say you register out on the street somewhere or something with a petition gatherer, then you have to show an ID when you go to vote for the first time. That's already the law.
Right. I just don't see what the big deal is if you just show it every time. That way, at least, you know, even if it's a fake ID, at least they got to put effort into it. But
And what if you don't have one? Is that a concern of yours?
Well, you can get, even if you don't have a driver's license, they have ID cards, but very, very tiny, tiny part of the population wouldn't have an ID card.
A tiny part of the population. Okay. An estimated 23% of persons 65 and over in Wisconsin alone. We're only going to talk about Wisconsin because that's one I just happen to have in front of me here. 23% of people 65 and over in Wisconsin do not have a driver's license. So the population of elderly persons 65 and older without a driver's license in the state of Wisconsin totals 177,399. That's the tiny portion you're talking about, 177,000 voters who would be disenfranchised. And that's, that's only elderly, by the way.
But they can get ID cards, right? I'm more worried about, what about the, like, 20 million illegals in California and Arizona?
They don't vote!
Well, you say that.
There is no evidence. There is no evidence. What's to stop them? They have to show an ID when they vote. Now, why would they, when they register to vote, now, why would they go in and register and tell the government where they are living when they can be easily found out because they've given their address and name to the government?
Well, it'd be fake. I'm just saying. But if they have to show when they register to vote, what's the big deal if they show it to vote too? I mean, I don't get why that's
well,
a big civil rights.
Because
violation.
Okay. Let me give you an example. All right, 96-year-old Dorothy Cooper. She's an African American woman from Tennessee. She was born even before women had the right to vote. She's been voting religiously for 70 years without a problem. Even before the Voting Rights Act of 1965, during the Jim Crow law, she's 96 years old. She's an African-American woman from Tennessee who has voted in every single election since she has been allowed to vote,
well,
going back decades. Well, guess what happened? Right. Right. She tried to. Guess what happened? As it turns out, she brought her birth certificate, as she's required to do. She brought all kinds of...
I've heard that example. That's one dumb example.
Okay. Shall I switch to another one? What do you mean you don't buy it, Dan? What do you mean you don't buy it?
Are you telling me there is a massive illegal immigrant voter fraud in California?
That's right. That's exactly what I'm telling you. And if you have any evidence...
Well, Dan... How can they investigate?
Hey, Dan...
To investigate.
Hey, Dan, it's not illegal to investigate. What the hell are you talking about?
Well,
do me a favor, Dan.
Dan, go to your
right-wing nut Republican friends.
Oh, come on,
go
I'm
to your...
American,
Dan?
Dan?
Okay. All right. All right. Let me take it back. It's Christmas. Go to your Republican friends who claim that illegal voters, illegal aliens, as you like to say, are voting in the state of California. Hang on, Dan. And ask them for any evidence of it at all. Okay? And then get back to me. I'm back on the show next Thursday and Friday. Come back to me with your hard evidence showing that these illegal aliens are casting votes in California. You don't have to come up with 20 million. Come up with, 20.
Well, what state
okay?
are you from? You're in Washington. Are you from...
No. California.
Seattle?
Yeah. No, hey, I'm California, Dan.
Are you telling me that there's a voter fraud in California? There's a Hispanic activist registering?
Yep. That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's exactly what I'm telling you. But you shouldn't trust me. You should come back next week with your evidence, Dan. I'll be on.
You show me evidence that no one can just go get an ID card. Show me those evidence.
What?
That
I just did. I just did.
One dumb example that I don't even.
You, how many more you want? How many more you want, my friend?
How many people can't
all right,
go get an
go.
ID card, man?
Hundreds of thousands. Dan, if you don't...
Oh, yeah, because there's all these KKK stand outside the licensing department. Oh,
okay.
Black lady.
I'm going to dump you... I'm going to dump you in one... Wait, hang on. Dan, I'm going to dump you in... Actually, I'll explain this to you over air because I think that's the only way you'll listen. So thanks all for the call, Dan. Have a happy holidays. I'll explain it to you. 96-year-old Dorothy Cooper, who has been voting her entire life. She brought her birth certificate. She got herself... She doesn't have a driver's license. She never had a driver's license. She got herself to the DMV with her birth certificate, all kinds of documentation showing exactly who she was, and she was not able to get her photo ID because, you see, Dorothy Cooper got married at some point along her life, and while she had the required birth certificate, she couldn't find her marriage license. And her name had changed since she was born, so she was denied that free photo ID. I already told you about Ruth L. Frank, who will have to pay $200 to have her free photo ID. I could go on and on and on all night long, Dan. And if you'd like me to, I will. But all I ask is that you come up with one instance. Go ahead. It shouldn't be hard. Come up with five, because I can come up with tens of thousands of people who will be disenfranchised. It won't be hard. Call me back next week with your evidence of all these people who are committing voter fraud that would be stopped by the photo ID restrictions. You can't do it, Dan, but I welcome you to try. I'll look forward to your call next week. Ray in Bettendorf, Iowa. Hey, Ray, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Brad, there you go with your facts and logic. Poor Dan.
Well,
I'm looking forward to the caucuses because I'm going to be in a room full of Dan's.
Oh, you are? Now, are you going to participate in the Iowa caucus on January 3rd?
Oh, yeah.
I
wouldn't miss it for the world.
Are you a Republican?
Well, I used to be a Republican. Then I changed to get Barack Obama into office. So I'm going to change back into a Republican to go in and make sure that the old right-wing racist Ron Paul wins Iowa.
Yeah.
And give the people what they want.
So
listen to Dan. Dan wants this. And it's like, I'm not going to deny him.
Okay.
Here you go. So you're going to get Ron Paul.
All right. You're going to vote for Ron Paul. Now, who's going to be announced the winner of that Iowa caucus, Ray?
I'm thinking to myself that they're probably going to, they had the one goofball, Vander Plaat, He wants, what's his name?
He wants Perry. He made Perry pay him $1 million for his endorsement, as I recall, Vander Plaats.
Yeah, I think the, I don't know, Perry may be a little short on change now because he didn't make the, didn't make it there in Virginia. So it's like the check might not be good anymore.
All right, so who's going to be announced the winner, Ray? Come on, go on record.
I figure they're going to hand it to Romney because
to Romney.
Like, it's a Republican machine.
All right. So Romney's going to be on record. You're on record as saying Romney's going to be announced the winner. Quick question before I let you go, Ray. Does the GOP, the Republican caucus, which is completely run by the state Republican Party up there in Iowa, are they going to require photo ID before you're allowed to cast a vote in next week's Iowa caucus?
You know, I'm going to go and find out if they do.
Will you call me back next week and let me know? I'll be on Thursday and Friday for Mike.
Merry Christmas to you, Brad. Be happy to do it.
I will look forward to your call, Ray. Thanks, brother. Have a great holiday. All right, then. Yeah, I suspect there will be no photo ID required to vote in the state of Iowa. Oddly enough, even though Republicans run the elections. Now, why would that be? Would that be because they know they will lose all kinds of voters and tick off all kinds of people who don't have these photo IDs on January 3rd? Yep, that would be why. But we'll find out. Ray will let us know next week. All right, 877-520-1150. Our last few minutes here before the holidays are truly upon us. Stay tuned. Ore nel cielo e vieni in una My thanks tonight, as ever, to our great engineer, Tony Sorrentino, here at LA's K-Talk AM 1150. Thank you, my friend, and happy holidays to you. Also to producer Desi Doyen. Hey, Des.
Hey.
You haven't gotten to say hi all night.
I have not.
So I wanted to say hi. And your good news, by the way, we didn't get to. The great. Maybe we'll do it next week. The great news on the EPA.
Finally getting to pass the finalized rules to... For the first time, restrict mercury pollution coming from the nation's coal-fired power plants.
Mercury,
arsenic, dioxin.
Yeah. It only took 22 years since
toxins.
George H.W. Bush signed the law requiring the EPA to do that. That finally happened this week. So there's some good news for you. Anyway.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. And thank you for all that you do. My thanks, of course, to Dale and Jeannie Dean were both helping us out in the bradblog.com chat room tonight. Sue couldn't make it.
Sue could not.
Oh, okay. Well, Merry Christmas to her, wherever she may be. My thanks to Lori Compass of Recall Fits. That's FITZ.com. Filling us in on her effort to recall Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. And, of course, the big thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy. Thank you for allowing me to sit in for you over these holidays just a little bit. Mike and Kathy will both be back next Monday, but then I shall return Thursday and Friday of next week before the New Year's break. So... hope you can join me then, and hope you'll follow me at The Brad Blog on Twitter and at, of course, bradblog.com. Thanks to you all, and Merry Christmas to you all. All right, let's get a couple last calls in here in our last few seconds before the... Where are we going? Yeah, how about... here we go. There we go. Hey, Linear Bob from San Jose.
Well,
hey, Bob.
Briefly, what I want to thank you, and I want to thank Mark Crispin Miller, because about a month ago, when I first caught wind of what was happening with KKGN, I sent an email to you and to Mark.
That's Green 960, yes.
And both of you responded by doing some investigating and starting to spread the word.
Well, I thank you for getting the word out, for making noise about this. And, you don't listen on KKGN Green 960 up there in San Jose, do you?
I do get it, but it's weak at night.
Yeah.
But I do get it some, but I found out that I will not get the HD2 signal at all.
Well, and I don't think that's the plan anymore. I don't know if they're even going to go to the HD2.
Yeah. well, it's going to be a figment of its former self because Mike is going to be from 1 to 3 in the morning, and Tom will be, what, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Well, that's for now, and of course... Glenn,
they may change their mind.
And, well, they changed their mind last time. They made some changes like this. I can't see how Glenn Beck in the place of Stephanie Miller on a progressive radio station is going to go over very well. So we do encourage folks, if you're up there listening to Green 960 in San Francisco, the Bay Area, to give them a call on Monday and politely and respectfully.
You were talking about voter fraud.
Yeah. No.
One name.
Yeah. Who's that?
Ann Coulter.
Ann Coulter, you're right, did commit voter fraud, as did the Republican Secretary of State of Indiana, apparently did Mitt Romney, who has been voting from a place where he does not live.
Right.
So I can give you a lot of examples. The problem is none of them would be stopped by photo ID laws, much as Charlie White, the Republican Secretary of State of Indiana.
If the photo ID has an address on it and they check that, they would catch Ms. Coulter because she gave her real estate broker's address.
Yeah, that's right. She lied about her address when she went and committed voter fraud in Palm Beach County, Florida in 2005. Right. And that's what Charlie White did, too, by the way. He lied on his driver's license. He lied on his photo ID, on his voter registration.
Yeah, so there are some examples, but I don't think they're illegal aliens.
No, they certainly aren't. Poor Dan in Spokane. Hopefully he'll get back to us next week with the evidence.
Anyway, I just wanted to thank you and Mark publicly for digging in and doing the research work and getting the word out.
Thank you, brother. Back at you. Have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right. Okay, let me get to Kevin in New York. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hi, Brad. How's it going? I was wondering if you could just speak on a kind of troubling trend I'm noticing, which is in my age group, which is 20 to 30, this obsession with Ron Paul and objectivism and just, you know, I've read Atlas Shrugged. I thought it was garbage. You know, why don't we have more people, more socialists, more democratic socialists in my age group?
Well, I you know what? I can't speak to your age group specifically. What I can say is that the things that Ron Paul talks about are the things that the right-wingers at Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and essentially the corporations who own the airwaves, those are the things that they talk about over and over and over again. And also, Ron Paul stood up against his own party, against George W. Bush back in the Iraq War and so forth. But the progressive media, and in your case, the socialist media, there is no such thing as a socialist media. There is no communist media, you know. So people don't hear any of those messages. They have only Fox or Fox to choose from, basically. That's a short explanation, given that I've got to get off the air in about 15 seconds here, Kevin.
Thanks so much, Brad. You and Mike are awesome. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, brother. And figure out what kind of voting systems you guys use up there in New York. It may be one of those that doesn't count your votes at all. So,
absolutely.
No kidding. Thanks, brother.
And Merry Christmas.
And to you. All right. Well, thus concludes our Christmas miracle edition of the Mike Malloy Show. Delighted you could join us here tonight. Hope you have a wonderful holiday. Over the weekend and into next week. We will join you again next Thursday and Friday night before New Year's. Until then, as I say, you can find me at bradblog.com or on the Twitters. Mike will be back on Monday, so tune in for that. Keep it lit, America, and happy holidays, Bill O'Reilly.